eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Dort Podcast. It's the Dort Podcast. Rich Keith. It's the Dort Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dort Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Davey Eyeballs. He is Ralph Von Dalf. He is promo code Ron Von D. All hail the king of ginger ale. It's Ryan. Davey, how are you?
I couldn't hear the theme song, by the way.
You son of a bitch. Don't start with that.
Don't start up with me. I heard it. It was fine.
Don't
How are you?
You unnecessarily lie to me again. The zero-sum game yep. Lie. But don't you dare do that again. Ryan, guess what's coming just around the corner, for Christ's sake?
I think I know. I've been waiting for it all year, baby.
Hashtag Dorktober 5, a new beginning. And why we're calling it a new beginning is twofold. One, the fifth Friday the 13th was a new beginning. But also, because this is the first year that we are part of a shared universe, or dare I say, a Gooniverse.
Dare we say.
And we are going to combine efforts and get a new top 50 horror list.
Yes.
Which needs to be done. We've already complained about it in the past. First of all, there's only three people voting previously. And Uncle Buck, love him to pieces, but he fucked up the count.
And the other thing, too, is like I kind of fucked it up, too. I fucked it up, too.
Yep. No, but his way of doing it, and not to beat a dead horse, but his way of doing it was a little bit different. He took all the movies we had in common, ranked them the highest versus like how we actually had them ranked. But anyway, this go around, Jason Rossi, he of the Rossi Horrible Take of the Week.
Yes.
Mac and Goo of the Mac and Goo podcast. And you and I, the five biggest horror fans in the shared universe, ranked our favorite movies from 1 to 50. Rossi did the math, bless his heart, and we are going to reveal. This is what's going to be cool, too, is we're going to do some standalone episodes. I think all the different pods are going to do standalone episodes, but we're going to release on like Twitter and the social medias throughout the month, like one or two movies a day to sort of count it down. So starting on Dorktober 1st, we're going to release, I think, number 50 and number 49, and then on down the way we go.
So in the way he did this time, I was looking at the spreadsheet, which I can say I created because it was a Google sheet that he said, I need your list, and I put it on a Google sheet, and then the math came off of that. So,
well, good, because I think that made it a lot easier.
Every movie that we had in first place got 50 points. Every second place got 49 points, and so on and so forth. So the numbers got a little bigger. But I think I'm looking at the list and giving it a first glance. It's a solid list. I mean,
I actually love the list. Like, there's it's clearly not my 1 through 50 because there's five people voting. Mm-hmm. But I actually really like it. I think it represents different decades, different kinds of horror, like different everything. And what's also cool, and we can reference it as we go, is because he has like the count next to it,
right?
You can see like who liked it the most, who didn't rank it at all.
Who didn't rank it at all. Yeah. And that was pretty interesting to see, like, a movie like, I'm not going to show you tell you where it lands, right? But a movie that I hold in very high regard,
yeah,
Army of Darkness,
yeah,
I had it really high, but two other people didn't even have it on their list.
I also had...
You had it on your list.
I don't know if I did. I don't know if I did.
I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe I did. There's a movie that I had in my top five that nobody else ranked in their top 50. I'm not going to say what that is, but because I had it so high, I think it's on the list. So we will discuss
it. It's on the list. Yeah, we will. And this is great because then we can hash it out.
And what I also found pretty funny is just like a quick skim of it was there were certain movies that Mac and Goo both ranked and nobody else did. And there were a couple that you and I ranked and nobody else did, which is just kind of funny because like, probably just from years of conversation about said movies. But anyway, so that
is flyer.
To
come. I got something in my teeth.
We will do, it won't be all horror movie stuff because we have to review The Boys season two when that finishes up. They have a couple more episodes, so we will do that. We are going to do Hubie Halloween, as promised. Davey can't wait for that. That comes out.
I fell down.
That's actually a clip from the film.
Yeah. I did the dub.
I did the dub. What do you mean? Reggie, did you make this video?
No.
So Hubie Halloween comes out the 7th. I'm not sure when we're going to do that because I think The Boys season 2 ends around there. But at some point in Dorktober, we might mix in a few dork shorts as we did before. And maybe the most exciting news, Ryan, we're bringing back the murder mystery.
I'm bringing it back. I got it in my – I saw on Instagram. I got it in my hands today. Today I got it.
I think mine's in route. I ordered it because – so this time – I will still scan it in, so if you guys watched the YouTube version of it, you'll still have the pictures and you can help us solve it. But this time, because let's face it, we got absolutely boned by the smallest little detail on the photo.
And being able to see it, yeah.
And so I, out of the group, have the worst eyesight, so I was the only one that had the hard copy. And so Davey Eyeballs couldn't save us. This time he can, because everybody doing it, Nicole's going to be back. Both the Davies are going to be back, and we are all going to have our own copies, so we're going to be able to figure this thing out. We're going to solve this son of a bitch.
We're going to get
That's the plan anyway.
And we're going to try to do it in such a way that we do it in one shot.
Which I think is daunting, but I also think I think it's daunting, but I think it's worth a shot.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So you want to get to the news, or is that what you're trying to like move this right along, or what are we doing?
Figure this goddamn thing out. Just when I think I have it figured out, I do not. But yes, Ryan, let's get to the news.
This week in Dork.
All right, the big news is the MCU has officially pushed everything back to 2021. It's really no surprise, but we got some official dates as they're punting on 2020, the pandemic year. There's going to be no new MCU movies. Again, not a huge shock, but this is what we have now. Black Widow is going to come out in May of 2021. Shang-Chi is going to come out in July of 21. And The Eternals, November of 21.
I'm okay with it. I'm honestly okay with this because I think after Endgame, we need a little breathing room. Yeah. We need to miss it a little bit. You know what I mean?
But my problem with this is I think they have a lot of the TV show stuff done, and they're probably waiting for like a little clue in Black Widow or like a post-credit scene in Shang-Chi or something in order to release these movies or these TV shows. Mm-hmm. And Disney Plus, as we've discussed, does not have a ton of crap on there. So hopefully like WandaVision doesn't rely on these and they can just release WandaVision, but I'm still waiting for the Falcon and Winter Soldier. Like, where's that? That was supposed to be like in August, I think.
I'm really, the more I think about WandaVision, the more kind of excited I am for it. I mean, we talked about it a little bit last week and
it looks pretty cool.
I spent some time after that kind of researching House of M. I never really read House of M. So I dabbled a little bit in that and it's kind of a cool story.
Yeah. It's definitely something worth doing. Now, I don't know. Again, can they bring in like Magneto into this world? Can they bring in I think they're going to do different things, but I think it's going to be, a real mind F, if you will.
Shown off, man.
Yeah. Speaking of comic book stuff, Ryan, The Boys, with the success of season two is already getting, we knew they were getting picked up for a third season, but they're also getting a spinoff show on Prime and it's going to be like a Vought College. And we talked about in the comics that there's a lot more teams, sort of like Teen Titans-esque teams, like the Teenage Kicks and like a few other ones like that.
And they were fun. And that was like a really – so that's in the very first book. I read the Teenage Kicks are staying in that hotel and you have that weird panel where you can see all the rooms and like what's going on. And it, none of it good.
None of it good. None of that's great. So I don't know if it's going to be that, but I feel like it's going to be something like that. It's going to be a bunch of quote heroes, I think, trying to like eventually get into the Seven or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it'll be good. It'll be good. More good TV news. I haven't watched it yet, but Fargo season 4 debuted last night. They released 2 episodes back to back, so I got it on the DVR. I'll probably start it maybe even right after this.
It was a bit of a long day yesterday. We went from the Patriots to the last Red Sox game to what now is the last Celtics game.
Yep.
To a pretty good Sunday night football game. So it was not
everything.
Yeah.
You throw in Tom Brady's got the 4:30 game. I had to work 9 to 1 in the morning. So it was just like, it was a full day. So I've not gotten there yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
You can't make more hours in the day. We wish we could, though, don't we?
Come on. When's daylight shavings? Am I right?
Yeah.
The Haunting of Bly Manor had like a full on trailer. This thing looks spooky. You want something spooky? You're getting something spooky.
I'm into it. So that's coming out October 19th.
Yep.
Shit. Maybe we squeeze that in at the tail end of Dorktober.
I think we could.
I think we could.
I think there might be because The Haunting of Hill House was good and it was definitely worth talking about. So this.
I ripped through that.
Yeah. So. And that was real spooky. I still think about that sometimes. But I'm like in the basement and I shut all the lights off and it's in the dark. I still like envision some of those ghosts.
The car scene still got me.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah.
I also think the really tall ghost that would like look under the bed.
Yeah, I didn't care for that.
No, kind of scary.
And what do they call her? The crooked neck lady or something like that?
Oh, yeah. Was it the bent neck lady? Or is that
from neck lady? That's what it was.
Bent neck lady. She was in that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Unsolved Mysteries Volume 2 will come out on Netflix in Dorktober on the 19th. We did an episode on Volume 1. I thought it was pretty good. I know Nicole, who joined us, was not a huge fan of it, but I thought most of the episodes were pretty compelling.
Pretty compelling. And there were some that frustrated me more than I think it started out hot with the guy going through the ceiling and then the alien one was more funny to me than it was compelling, but
okay,
some just frustrating. The French family was frustrating,
right? Because that one's like, I think we all know who did it. It's just like you can't find the guy.
You can't find him and he's in the wind. You can't,
yeah,
you know, and that's frustrating to me.
That was frustrating. But the good news is, and I should probably follow up on some of them, but it felt like they got so many tips and like some legitimate tips after the fact. Like that one kid that went to the house party.
Right.
I think they ended up.
They reopened the case.
Yes. So, I mean, that's good. Maybe that's what they'll do. Because you remember when you watched the show, they would give you updates like, hey, thanks to you guys, like you helped this out. And now by the time Volume 2 comes out, maybe they'll have some Volume 1 updates.
Hey, your lips to God's ears, man.
Come on, Ryan. Am I right?
You're right.
All right. Let's get to the next portion of the show, shall
we? Sure.
I said... Oh.
Come on, I'm waiting.
See, you know what it is? Is I tried doing one thing 1 second, and then I tried doing another thing. I forgot it.
This is This Week in Horrible Rossi Takes.
Well, Ryan, this is going to take a little bit of a turn because this is Jason Rossi, our friend from the Pop Culture Pile Driver. Mm-hmm. He and Billy D host that podcast. And normally Rossi is good for 1 or 2 just horrible takes in a given week. And a couple of weeks ago, it was actually Nick Fryer from the Change My Mind pod who had the worst take I had ever heard. He doesn't like Michael Scott from The Office. But 2020 is a tricky mistress. And enter my friend, Ryan Davey. This was so upsetting to me. You were on the Pop Culture Pile Driver,
mm-hmm.
and the theme or the topic was one-hit wonders, and it was a draft. And sure. Rossi got it right this time. It was a draft where you would only take one song and nobody could repeat the songs.
The format was correct. The way in which things were drafted were correct. Yes.
Okay.
Before I feel like we're gonna have it out right now. Come on.
Yeah, we are. Mm-hmm. I am gonna allow you to retort in a moment.
Sure. I will wait until you're done.
Okay. First question, how dare you? Don't answer that. Second question, where do you get off? If you missed it, Ryan Davey said that Blink 182 is a one-hit wonder. I almost drove off the fucking street because they are not a one-hit wonder. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. To me, a one-hit wonder would be a group that you probably don't even know the name of the group. You just recognize the song. They never had a hit before. They never had a hit after. And it's the only thing that you would associate with them. And I don't care where it ranks on the fucking charts or anything like that. All I care about is there's one song that you know by them. And again, you probably don't even know the name. And so when you said Blink 182, I believe it was All the Small Things, which isn't even their best song, and you put that on there, and I said, how on earth are they a one-hit wonder? They're one of, I would say, my 20 favorite bands of all time. It made me sick to my stomach. Not to mention, you later drafted Janis Joplin, who is one of the greatest female musicians in the history of the world, who has, in my mind, multiple hits and is very famous. Also, that idiot Wes, not letting him off the hook, he took Lisa Loeb, not a one-hit wonder. Jackass Jason Rossi starts the podcast by saying, no rules. I'm like, no rules? Why would you even call it the one-hit wonder draft when you're just taking songs? You're just picking any goddamn song. So anyway, I'm just really upset because I know you to know more about music than anybody else that I know, but to suggest that Blink-182 is a one-hit wonder was like a punch in the nuts. I yield my time.
Let's take it from the top. Now, when you started talking about one-hit wonders, what was the very first thing you said? Let me tell you, because I hung on to it. You said,
I already forgot.
In my mind,
yeah,
this is what a one-hit wonder was. Not only were there no rules to this podcast, the thing that he said that stuck in my craw, it is up to your interpretation. My interpretation is different from your interpretation. That being said, Blink-182 has had one top 40 hit in their entire career. That is All the Small Things. To further the point, Janis Joplin, only one top 40 hit in her entire career. That being me and Bobby McGee. Technically, those are one-hit wonders. Now, if you want to argue that they should have one hit and then nothing else, if you want to argue, like I see in the chat, someone says, like, they have a greatest hit CD. Fucking Alien Ant Farm has a greatest hit CD.
Smooth
Aaron
Criminal.
Carter has a greatest. Hoobastank has a greatest hit CD.
Like, yeah, that's not the argument.
Anybody, and it's like, for most artists, the greatest hit CD is the death rattle when they're just trying to sell just a little bit more records just so they can pay their rent. Time out. Here's the issue with this, okay? I started leaning into this, and I swear I will show you. I have this notebook. I have this notebook here that I keep all my podcast notes in. Now, I will show you this. It has not been altered since that draft, okay? Here's what threw me over the edge. So I have, hang on, I'm going to get to it. Here's my list, all right? I will put it up here. You can see right here, there's a group of songs, and right there, it's underlined several times with quotations that says, technically, right?
I don't like that. It's part of an argument to say technically.
Technically they are. Like, I have another one, right? Rehab by Amy Winehouse. She's technically a one-hit wonder.
I feel like anybody not named Katy Perry is then, therefore, a one-hit wonder.
How about this one? Walk on the Wild Side by Lou Reed. Touch of Grey by the Grateful Dead. All technically the only hits by those incredibly legendary artists. Now,
so then I would argue to you, Ryan, if that's the approach you want to take, why wouldn't you just take your five favorite songs? Because chances are they were all one-hit wonders.
I think what pushed me over the edge, because I had the second pick, right?
Okay.
So Rossi gets, and I'm not going to pick on Rossi as much and more than I usually do. All right.
Yeah, he gets plenty of that.
So it went Billy, then me, then Rossi, then Wes. Oh, wait.
Okay.
No. Did Rossi have the first pick? It was at that time when Rossi picked a song that he couldn't even say the name of the artist correctly that drove me over the edge.
Well,
he pronounced it chameleon. He couldn't even say chameleon. He couldn't even say it. Right?
Chameleonaire.
Like, in what drove me nuts and what has always driven me nuts is like, have rules. Like if you can't bitch about someone's interpretation, if You didn't say, like, they have to have one hit and then nothing else.
So here's
you didn't say that.
Here's my take on it, too, and because I was having this discussion with my wife, and she lost her mind. She's also a Blink-182 fan and a Janis Joplin fan, so she didn't know what was going
on. Never did I once say that Blink-182 was a bad band. Never once did I say that they didn't have meaningful other songs.
You said they were a one-hit wonder.
All I'm saying is they've only had one hit song.
But a one-hit wonder, aren't you like, don't you wonder why they don't have more hits?
It's up to my interpretation.
A one-hit wonder would be a group that you had never even heard of. In fact, the best list of a one-hit wonder would have been if you guys all drafted five songs and you went through and just reading them, you'd be like, I don't know what any of these are. But then as soon as I heard them, I'd say, ooh, I know every one of these. That, to me, is what a one-hit wonder is.
To me, a one-hit wonder could be, I wonder why they've only had one hit. Yes. Like Blink-182. So it's all a matter of interpretation.
So you're just and a like slave said, to the charts then for the hits?
That's my interpretation. That's like saying a good movie
is only a good movie if it makes money, not necessarily if it's well-known.
Hey, that's up to your interpretation. I'm just reading the things on the page.
But why
I'm just playing the game as it was prescribed to me.
Why would somebody you just take your five favorite songs then?
Because most of my favorite songs aren't one-hit wonders.
But you could say to you they are. You could say that that's the only hit song that you... that you think that they have.
Maybe I should have, but then again, I would have been, see, in order to cheat this game, in order to work outside the boundaries of this game, there would have had to have been boundaries and rules. There were none. You can't blame me.
So I think people who are familiar with our podcast and the podcast network, they know enough to blame Rossi for creating no rules. People who just see on Twitter who people took were all over you for picking Blink-182.
Wait right there, my friend, because with 20 hours left in the voting, with 110 votes in, I got 53% of the vote. The next closest person, Billy, is 23.6%.
I think those polls might be a little misleading because...
Hey, win's a win, baby.
Well, no, because they saw your name compared to those guys' names, and all due respect to Billy D, but they saw those and they just said, I'm voting for Davey.
I'm the fucking man.
They might... No, I'm not disputing that. I'm just disputing your taste.
What's the problem? So, like, not only do people have, like, if you take issue with it, fine. But, like, again, I can't cheat if there's no rules.
No, there are no rules.
So that's not my fault. Not
I
of that,
don't
like,
understand
thinking like this.
Why...
I said, I'm like Belichick. Like, remember that game? He skirts.
Belichick
he
has lost a couple of draft picks, so you might want to be careful.
Well, I might lose a couple listeners now because I don't care. But at the same time, like, I won. And not only that. But, like, remember that there was a rule with, like, a player entering the field, like, at a, you know what I mean? And then, like, Belichick found, like, the loophole in it, and then the next year they changed it?
Oh, yeah.
I'm that guy? Fine.
Yeah.
I'm an innovator, baby.
No, I do think that you can't have – you can't complain after the fact if you didn't create any rules.
That's my point, and that's the point I was trying to make. And then with the Janis Joplin pick, I was just leaning into it at that point.
Well, yeah, I'm
they
like,
lost their
like
mind,
in the
rock- I'm like –
But they didn't even like argue the Janis Joplin one, which I was like, what do you guys know?
And I didn't say anything. I mean, the whole time I was rolling my eyes. I'm like, you know, I get like, what the fuck was that? Tipsy by Jaquan, Shake It by Metro Station. Like, they
I don't know what the hell is going on. I don't know what we're doing.
You Gotta Be by Desiree. That was my mother's graduation song from nursing school. Like, that's going to be like your fucking ace in the hole. Like, come
put
on.
Put that out of my face. Put that out of my face.
The people who listen to this, the people who listen to this understand me, right?
Yeah.
Can I come clean now? Can I come clean?
If you'd like to.
I would like to get this off my chest.
This is a trust tree in the nest.
Do I honestly believe that Blink-182 is a one-hit wonder? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But you know what? Don't hate the player, baby. Hate the game. That's not my fault.
No, this is, it's a game issue.
It's a game issue.
But I was a little upset that you stooped to that level, or you just didn't go fucking all in and were just like, I don't even know, like whatever your five favorite songs are, and be like, one hit.
Well, technically, it's a one hit one. And the other thing that was driving me nuts, the other horrible Rossi take that we can make that I heard was that he won't regard Michael Jackson as a wonderful pop artist, but lists the Jackson 5 as the best boy band of all time. And I'm like, how can you do that? He's like, well, I don't listen to either. Then like, how the fuck?
Yeah,
how can you do that?
I don't know.
Like, there's like, if you want to play no rules.
Yeah.
Like,
no rules.
Think of like a hardcore wrestling match. I'll speak their language. Think of like a hardcore match.
Yeah.
That's like saying like, no hardcore, no rules. And then bitching you got hit with a chair. Like, that's just the way it is. You want to play no rules, it's no rules.
Staple gun. You want a staple gun. Tax.
So it sounds like Richard, it sounds like you came at me a little bit, but now you're kind of on my side.
Well, no, I get it. I just feel like I would have had a different approach. I would have just gone five, like here are my five favorite songs, and they're all one hit to me. Or like, I just feel like, because you did take a couple like legit one hit wonders also.
I did. Well, in the first two, I did. I took,
yeah, was it A
Take on Me?
Yeah.
And I took, I think All the Small Things was my second pick.
Actually. Oh, yeah. No, so right
but
away.
But then I took My Sharona, which is like one of the greatest ones.
Oh, yeah. My Sharona's a great
and
one.
And then Groove is in the Heart, which is a fucking banger song.
This thing was an absolute gong show, though, from start to finish.
Oh, absolutely. So it's me leaning into it. It has nothing to do with like whether or not I think Blink 182 is they're not. They're absolutely not.
Them.
But if you had set those ground rules, if you had given me,
what would your rules be? If you were going to do the same thing, forget you ever even did that episode and somebody came up to the idea and was like, hey, we're doing a one hit wonders podcast.
Mm-hmm.
What would your parameters be?
If you my parameters would be, it would have to be, like you said, a song from an otherwise like unknown artist. So like came onto the scene and that was their first song and only song.
And probably last.
Right. So like, so if you think of a band like here's a perfect one that was on my list. It was actually really high on my list that I would have taken had I not played this little game. I would have taken No Rain by Blind Melon.
Okay.
That is the song that was their first release song. It was a fucking smash, and then you never heard from them again.
Yep.
There was
I thought of would you call Eagle Eye Cherry Save Tonight?
Yes.
One hit wonder. Yep.
I would call Just a Friend by Biz Markie. There's another one that was on my list.
Oh, yeah, nice.
I had a fucking banger list that I was just like, and that's why I went at Rossi a little bit. I'm like, the fucking shit I didn't even pick is better than anything you picked, right? Walking on Sunshine, Katrina and the Waves. Like, that song's incredible. And they broke up, like, right after that song came out. So, like, there are bands like that who either disbanded right after they tasted success, someone died, or you know what I mean? So it was like...
Right.
I know in my head what a one-hit wonder
is. Yeah, because I would say, too, and it's kind of wordy to explain, but I would say if I played you a song, you would absolutely know who, you'd actually recognize the song. And then if I found their second best song, whatever the metric is for their second best song,
you've never heard it.
You'd be like, I don't know what that is.
I have no idea. Or you'd be like, name another song by that artist. You'd be like, I have no
chance.
What's another one I had?
What about is Closing Time by Semisonic?
Yes, that's absolutely. And the 90s, and they were very 90s heavy.
Yeah, I think my list would have been. Just
the 90s were like, with TRL, with singles being such a thing and albums not being a huge thing, like that was a huge problem in the 90s. There's all these bands that are just one-hit wonders. I'm thinking like Semisonic. Fucking,
was Marcy's Playground? Would you say Sex and Candy?
That's there's one hit. And even...
I like that.
I was going to say Bare Naked Ladies, but that's not true.
No, they have a bunch.
They have a bunch.
1 Week, An Old Apartment, and everything else.
But there's all those. Remember fucking Barely Breathing, Duncan Sheik. Like, there's one.
What about Natalie and Bruglia?
Torn. Yeah, so there's one. So I want it known, right? I want it known on the podcast that I know what a one-hit wonder is. And I chose to play the game another way. And guess what? The proof, as they say, is in the pudding. And I fucking won
it.
Going away. And then what always happens, right, is they, and Goo took a shot at me. And Goo, you're not safe from this yet. Goo took a shot, right? So they come in like, oh, David, buying votes. No one likes me enough to care
buying
about this.
Votes?
Buying not votes?
Not a thing.
Like, not a thing. Votes? And like, I retweeted it, of course, but like, who am I? Like, they're like, oh, it's the dork people just voting for Davey because he's Davey. No one likes me enough to do that.
No.
So how dare you? I'm thankful enough to say
that.
And
I didn't vote for you. I voted for Billy D.
You can kiss my grits. Billy had Billy. If I weren't so good at this game, Billy had the best list out of all three of them. Yeah.
Although you could argue that Vanessa Carlton's not a one-hit wonder. But
you could argue that. So there were some.
She's
again,
closer than,
But it was up to our interpretation. Right? So like... Don't get fucking mad at me. You know, you called a hardcore match, you got a hardcore match.
Yeah. Could I take BYOB by System of a Down? Because technically, I think that was their only hit.
You could have. That's the only, I think, honestly, that's the only
song. I think that's like their only hit. If you're playing top 40 charts.
You could have. You would have been complete within your right because A, there was no rules. And B, it's up to your interpretation. So don't. And
the
I said
only
to
rule
them,
is there are no rules,
right? And I said to them, for people who say no rules and interpretation, you're certainly bitching about rules and interpretation now.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
figure it out. And Goo said, so I was like, I'm gonna get to you, Goo, son of a bitch. He was like, they were talking about like buying votes or whatever. And he's like, that must be Keith because Davey's never won shit. Like the last time I was on here, I fucking doubled everybody up too.
So there you go. So suck on an egg.
So there you go.
Suck and again, on an egg.
Friars Whitby in the chat is all Rossi's fault. You blame Rossi. Don't blame me.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Ultimately, it comes down to Rossi.
What?
I'll never repeat that again.
Now, say it again.
I was just saying Rossi was definitely wrong, but I felt
you said
like
something before that. I think you breezed over it, though.
No, I think we're having trouble with my internet here. But
yeah, I think so, too.
I don't know. So that's how that went. It got people fired up. It got the people talking.
Hey, that's what we want, right?
You know?
We want interaction. We want
content
listenership.
We want interaction, and we want to know that we respect the listeners. We had some jack wagon apparently we didn't respond to, and then he decided to leave us a 3-star review because he says we have poor listener interaction.
And here I am. My DMs are dry as a fart, man, and wide open. So, you know, you weren't talking to me. So
I feel like I actually respond to a decent amount of stuff on Twitter.
You, and again, like, you're not going to respond to the Keef21 account, but you'll respond to dork stuff.
I'm on the dork Twitter account way more than the other one. And so I'll look at that. I'll retweet stuff. I'll like stuff. I'll do all that.
In the spam stuff, in like the message requests, gets lost in the shuffle sometimes because they don't give you an alert for that. Like sometimes I don't even check that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's true too. But yeah, so DMs are open on that too. So if you can DM us, you can email us dorkpodcast@gmail.com. You can tweet us @dorkpodcast, whatever, on Instagram. So whatever you want to do.
And so the last thing I want to say about this is yes, the Blink-182 take was bad, but it was intentionally bad.
How do you like that? In your face, everybody.
In your face.
In your face. All right, here we go.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute. Even if it takes more than a minute.
All right, Ryan, what do you have?
Well, first of all, what I got, Richard, as always, the Video Game Minute is brought to you by our wonderful friends at Wild Bill Soda. Go to wildbillsoda.com. Get you some. What are you doing?
Come on. Have a soda.
Get some sauces. Buy some soda. Buy some juice. Buy some iced teas. They're awesome. Use the promo code Ron Von D. Get yourself a little discount. And look what they sent me, Richard. Not only did the awesome people at Wild Bill Soda send me an entire case just of ginger ale.
They get it.
They gave me this. If you see this, this is a heavy gold coin. Right? Look at the thick side of that thing. Now, you think that's cool. It's a little collectible coin.
I do, Richard, like it. I'm curious. What's the point?
This, anytime, once we get back to normal and life goes back to normal and Wild Bills, as they do, goes to trade shows and they do all their stuff at cons and all that stuff. This gold coin entitles me to free soda for life.
Yes.
So all I have to do is go up to the thing, present this coin.
That's incredible.
Right? And I get free soda for life.
And you have to say Valar Moleculus.
I saved a life. And by the way, remember that episode of The Simpsons where they kick Homer out of the, what is it, the
Stonecutters.
The Frying Dutchman?
Oh, yeah.
For the all-you-can-eat, and they wound up kicking him out? That's what you just did. This is what you just did. So I am going to drink all of your soda.
You just flash that at the next time there's a function.
I bring my mug. So I bring my mug. I drink the coin. I get free soda for life.
That is the greatest news I think I've ever heard.
And somebody said in the chat, I'm going to make a chain, like a chain. They're just like a big, like, fat Cuban link and just wear that all the time.
I love it.
So thank you to Wild Bills. You guys are awesome. You've been so good to us. Thank you so much for that. And make sure you guys go and support them again. Veteran run and operated. So please check them out. They're unbelievable people. Flipping to the actual video game news. Video Game Minute. So someone mentioned that season six out tomorrow.
Yeah,
For the Battle Pass 4 Warzone. So if you guys, there's going to be new operators, new guns, all that stuff. Apparently, you can go underground now. There's tunnels.
Hey, look out, Chuds!
I'm excited. Hey, didn't make the list. No one put Chud.
Chud didn't make it. Spoiler.
It's all right.
Top 50 list.
Maybe at some point we do like cheesy 80s horror, like the best of cheesy 80s horror,
or like horror B movies.
Yeah, like Chud or like whatever. Chud. Anyway, so that's coming out. Amazon announced that they are doing their own cloud-based gaming service called Luna. Now, it's going to be completely integrated with Twitch, obviously.
Yeah. Or Moon, it means Moon.
Sure does. That's right. I'm weary of these cloud-based games, though. With everything that good that's coming out, I don't really see the need for them.
Yeah.
Unless it's going to be better than a console. Unless it's going to be better than a PC in some way. I mean, for some people who maybe you're a little bit more thrifty. Maybe you want to, you're not really into the new consoles. You want to play games that you can stream and all that stuff. I get it, but like, how much more money does Amazon need, for Christ's sake?
No, they're doing okay.
They're doing okay.
Yeah.
Among Us 2 has been canceled. Have you played this game yet? Are you familiar with this game?
Not yet. I heard they had issues with it like a couple weeks ago. Like people were trying to get on and it was crashing.
Yeah. Well, the problem, as every game like this has, is it blows up. Like the right people start playing it at the right time, and this game just blows up. So what they had plans before this game took off to develop Among Us 2. But what they've decided to do now is that they're going to ramp up the production of the current game, have new modes, have new maps, have all this stuff. So they're actually leaning into what they found success with, which I think is a smart play. This game's it's super simple but a ton of fun. It's basically like a
check it out.
Yeah, it's super easy but it's like a game of hide and seek essentially, with tasks, or it's like a live game of Clue.
And on that,
which you would be super into, you know. So I
like
there's
the sound
that.
Of that.
Animal Crossing is getting an update in November for all you Animal Crossing people out there. There are several in my house, so that's good. And something that I was interested in. So Assassin's Creed came under fire because they had a trailer come out, kind of looking at all of their heroes as they went through the game. So like it was like a trailer based on like, you know, whoever characters in different games. Zero women.
Wow.
Zero. So they came under some fire because there were women in these games that were, one, playable characters, or two, major characters, and they didn't show any of them in the trailer. So what they did today, which is actually pretty cool, they came out with a new logo, and it's an Assassin's Creed Sisterhood logo. And it's actually pretty cool. So it's like that Assassin's A, but intertwined. I know you're not going to like this, but just bear with me. A snake wrapped around the A.
Okay.
Bear with me. So it's Amunet, I believe it's. So the female character from Assassin's Creed Origins, who I guess technically is the first female assassin.
Okay.
It's a symbol for her. So that's why. So they come up with this new symbol, and it's going to be a tattoo featured on the female character in Assassin's Creed, the new one with the Vikings. I can't think. Is it Valhalla? I can't think of that. Whatever.
That's one of them. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we got two Viking games coming out, too. So we got Assassin's Creed and God of War Ragnarok.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Which is going to be awesome. Yeah, so the other thing that I wanted to, in streaming news, as we speak right now, Dr. Disrespect, who has taken his talents to YouTube, is currently streaming with Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh, right now. Snap.
And Odell said he is going to stream as much as he can on his YouTube page every Monday and Tuesday night. So if you guys want a new streamer to follow on YouTube, you don't even have to sign up for Twitch. You can go on YouTube. Don't do it right now, but you can go watch Dr. Disrespect and play with Odell Beckham, which they'll probably be going. They'll be burning the midnight oil. At some
point, yeah, so. For sure.
So there's the That's I wanted cool. to shorten that up. So there you go. Video game minute. Boom, bam. All right.
Like it. Ryan, you ready for the topic du jour?
Look, I want you, and not until you say what you said before, what you
I'm glad you asked. And today it is Cobra Kai seasons 1 and 2. They were originally on YouTube, part of the YouTube Red and then YouTube Premium. They are now available to stream on Netflix, and that's actually who picked it up. Mm-hmm. And so season 3 has already been greenlit, and that'll come out on Netflix next year. But what we have here is 2 seasons, both 10 episodes long, and both in that like 28 to 33 minute range each episode.
There was one that was a little bit longer. It was like 42 minutes.
Yeah.
The last season of episode 1 was like 40 something minutes.
But right around all there.
Yeah.
So let's start spoiler free as we do with all of our TV and movie reviews. And Ryan, let me ask you first, did you like it?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
The show is the shit.
Yeah. The show's really good. I didn't see it when it was on YouTube. I literally just watched it in the last couple of weeks. And we had been getting a bunch of requests for it, like popping up on Twitter, popping up on email. You know, they were like, hey, you guys got to check the show out. Have you watched this? Have you watched this? And I hadn't. And I was like, you know what? Let's do it. And
you know, thrifty sons of guns. Because when it first came out, it had great buzz. But I'm like, I'm not paying $40 for YouTube TV.
Right, like I don't have that. I don't need it, and that seemed like the only show that I would even want on top of it.
Right,
you know, or like the only reason to get it. But where would you stand as a kid of the 80s and really 90s, but kid of the 80s and 90s, mm-hmm. Karate Kid? Were you a big Karate Kid guy, little Karate Kid guy, medium Karate Kid guy?
I think Karate Kid came out, what, 84
Four.
Or 85? Okay, so 84. I didn't see, obviously, I was three when that movie came out, but right. I saw it, I think I was six or seven. And once I saw that movie, I became like obsessed with karate. So much so that my brother and I were trying to do karate. This is on film, mind you. It's somewhere where my older brother and I are standing there in gis, right? And then I'm like doing the karate pose with the open hand, the flat hands.
Yeah.
And my brother's off screen, off camera. You can be there like, what are you guys doing? And we say, we're doing karate, because that's how I said it.
Sure.
And then it turned into my brother, seven, I was maybe six, kicking me in my testicles falling to the ground. And to us, that was karate.
That's That's the top of the chart.
So, which I would like you now, and this, I will say this too, because I'm going to forget.
Okay.
I historically don't really like teen shows.
Okay.
Like Riverdale, like I'm not really into like high school stuff, but like this isn't really that. It has that element to it, and I think that can capture that younger audience.
Yeah, this is less that, because when you watch like 90210 or Riverdale or shows like that, shows that I like, all of the main characters, like the main characters are the kids, and like the parents are like involved, but then like they eventually get kind of like pushed out, like in 90210. It's like there's no more parents.
Whereas no supervision here at all.
As like obviously there are a couple of kids that we'll get to that are the main characters, but then you have obviously the two main guys from Karate Kid that are back 34 years later reprising their roles. Mm-hmm. And they are the main character. Like they are the main guys. I mean, especially obviously Johnny Lawrence.
Yes. Now I would like you to tell the story that you told me about you and your father doing karate. Cause this story is awesome.
Are you talking about,
when your father saw someone breaking board.
Yeah. So I forgot all about the story. So I did Taekwondo actually.
Oh, sorry.
For like a year.
Different country. That's Korean.
But so that I just to get it right. I didn't do karate. I did Taekwondo, but it was like the rage. And first off, the thing I'll say is like, I don't think I liked the movie as much as like I was just aware of it, because it was just in every single like wax on, wax off, crane kick, like all that shit. Like, and it was cool, but like I was born in 84, so certainly like I went back and saw it, and like the sequels, I don't even know if I ever saw it. But anyway, it must have been somewhere in elementary school, and I was taking Taekwondo, and my dad also signed up with me. And so we're both taking the class, and there was a guy in our class. Unfucking believable how he could jump. I've never seen a guy barefoot. Like he was barefoot, probably shorter than me, and could like dunk a basketball no problem. It was insane. And so he would jump around. He would do like flips. Like he was next level stuff. And so some guy held a board over his head. Like the main instructor held a board over his head. This guy from a standstill jumps up in the air, spins, and kicks the board in half. One of the most impressive things I have ever seen. My jaw hit the floor. My dad standing next to me, and he goes, "Yeah, I could do that with my gun."
I just picture him. I picture your nickname for your father that I could say. Can I say this on air?
Oh yeah,
Pocket Hercules. Because
he's not a tall guy.
Yeah. I just picture him just like nudging you.
Yeah, I can do that.
Like in the show, you're like the same height. And he's like,
yeah,
like I can do that. With my gun.
My gun.
Like Jared, a big dick, the Taekwondo guy. I love
that. He probably also said, "Are you shitting me?" When he's like, that guy was unreal. I'd never seen anything like it. Because think about it. Like, go to like a hardwood floor and take your shoes off and try to jump. It's the weirdest feeling. Like,
it's a terrible feeling.
Really do it. And this guy was like spring loaded, and he did like a 360 in the air. And the guy, like, to the point where, like, you know, normally when you break a board, they're like holding it on both ends.
Sure.
This guy's just holding it up with the one hand, and he still split it in half.
That's amazing.
Fucking insane. But so, I quit before my yellow belt. So I'm really not well versed in Taekwondo.
I was not, I tell you, as a young person in karate, like the whole first year is blocking. Like, I don't want to see you want to throw a punch.
It was a ton of blood. That's a great point. A lot of Miyagi-Do.
A lot of Miyagi-Do. I didn't want I wanted fucking Cobra Kai, but we'll get into that in a second.
Yes we will.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the prequels? I don't think I did. I certainly don't remember them.
The prequels?
Oh, I'm sorry. The sequels of Karate Kid.
Oh, yeah. I even saw the one with Hilary Swank because the next Karate Kid.
Yeah, 94.
Because in the trailer, you saw her in her bra.
Hello.
So I was, but I did. I saw all four Karate Kid, technically four, right?
Yeah. So Karate Kid came out in 84, then part two, 86, part three, 89. The next Karate Kid came out in 94. And then the Will Smith's Kid remake came out in 2010.
Which I have an enormous problem with. But I will... Do we need to get into that? Or we didn't
know? No, I know what your problem is.
What is it?
They, like... Don't they mess around with, like, the countries of origin?
It takes place in China.
Yeah.
He learns Kung Fu. If you... I will tell you this. I not to get in, tell tales out of school.
Yeah.
But if you mix up Chinese and Japanese culture, Chinese and Japanese people, that is a huge problem.
Not great.
Huge problem.
So you want to know what the
karate is Japanese and Kung Fu is Chinese, like that's a problem.
Do you want to know what the five movies, so we'll count the new one also. Mm-hmm. So in order from the original to the remake or like the facto remake, the Rotten Tomatoes scores?
Please, I want to know all of them, yeah.
88. The first one got 88%.
Of course, as it should.
Followed by 42.
Not great.
16.
Makes sense.
7. And then a big jump up actually to 66%.
Which is horseshit.
Kind of surprising.
It's not even karate. You call it the Karate Kid, it's not even fucking karate.
7% for the next Karate Kid.
He wasn't good. And poor Pat Morita. Poor Pat Morita deserved better.
Cobra Kai, meanwhile, Rotten Tomatoes actually for a TV show, 100% for season one,
fucking excellent,
88% for season two,
which I kind of like season two better.
I disagree. I like season one a lot more.
All right,
we'll get into that here coming up. I thought the story was good, very simple, but very good. Right? You have Johnny Lawrence, 34 years later. You have Daniel LaRusso, same thing. They don't live that far apart anymore. One guy's doing very well. One guy's not doing all that well. I love it. Like, very, very simple. And it's almost one of those things where you're like, how many movies could they do this with? Like, how many movies from the 80s could you come back with, same actors, and pull it off? Where, like, at times it's kind of a little cheese to it, but it's, of course it is, because it's like an 80s movie. And but there's enough of like other characters kind of calling out the cheese and like, I don't know. I think it's well done. And like both actors, to get them both back in on it and like to commit the way that they had, like it makes it great.
It does. And like, I like the fact that, as you said, the story is just completely bare. It's stripped down. Like, it has no frills about it.
Yeah.
It's not up its own ass, as we say here. And it's incredibly, like you, it's incredibly self-aware where they make references to all the movies.
People, a lot of flashback scenes. A
lot of flashbacks. People show up.
Yeah.
Who you wouldn't expect to show up.
Yeah.
There's songs that they play throughout that are songs that they played in the movies.
They got great,
like certain scenes. And it's just a great, it's like a tip of the cap to like everything you loved about 80s action movies. It's just a nice little how do you do it.
And that's why I thought there's enough good action scenes, right? Whether it's fights actually in the dojo, fights outside of the dojos, fights at the tournament, like whatever it might be, there's good action fight scenes. I also think the comedy is pretty good. I think Johnny Lawrence is fantastic. Like, he's legit funny. He's to me the best part of the whole show. He is the show.
And I think, so somebody at some point, there was a thing that I know a lot of people have seen this, and you might have seen it too. There was a thing that was making it rounds on YouTube, dissecting the Karate Kid movie and actually explaining that Danny LaRusso is actually the villain of that story. And they actually, somebody who, the showrunner here, I think it's Josh Held, who directed Hot Tub Time Machine.
Okay.
He had to have been aware of that, because that's the core of kind of the whole movie.
They kind of play into it too. in right. this. You know, they kind of play into it.
That Johnny Lawrence isn't really an asshole. Like, he's kind of a bum, but he's not an asshole, you know?
Yeah, he's more layered than you would think from just watching, right. like, the movie. You know, they do a good job of kind of, like, making him more three-dimensional. What would your dork score what would your score be per season and then overall?
I'm going to go back-to-back 5.5s.
Wow. So, I'm going to go with a hard 5 for season 1.
Yep.
And then a 4 for season 2. Make it a 4.5 overall. I still liked it, but I'll tell you why maybe season 2 wasn't as much my favorite coming
up. And I think I know what you're going to say.
Okay. If I'm really wrong,
there's something. Yeah. There's a point I can now make against season 2. But
okay. Anything else non-spoiler you want to hit on?
We are in a lull right now for TV.
It's a watch.
This is, I would say, as close to as The Boys. Like, this is as close to a must watch as it gets. Especially, you can rip. I ripped through this, like you said, 4 days, 2 seasons,
super quick, yeah,
super fast. And you don't. It's one of those shows. It's not like The Usual Suspects where you have to be like kind of paying attention the whole time. And no, I know that's really. like a terrible sell, but you can actually like go rock a piss and come back and be like, all right, I know what's going on. I don't have to like,
cause this was actually a rare show that me and my wife watched together. And it was one of those ones where like, yeah, one person could go to the kitchen for a second, come back. You're like, do you want me to pause it? Like, no, we're good. Like,
so funny story. I tried watching it with my wife.
She wasn't having it.
Well, here's the thing. So we were 10 minutes into the first episode. And she looks at me dead in my eyes, Rudyard. She looks me dead in my eyes and goes, oh, wait, so which one's the Karate Kid?
Out.
Hold up. She has not seen a Karate Kid movie.
Yeah.
So I said, you get out of here. You get out.
My wife's big takeaway was, and this may come across as somewhat vain, but she thought both stars, particularly Ralph Macchio, aged oddly.
I agree.
Yeah.
Until we'll need to get into spoilers, but remind me about a certain character.
All right, I will. But
the people who were in the Karate Kid movies, they aged incredibly well.
Oh, well, that's true. But I'm just saying, like, Ralph Macchio, and it's funny because he was also in The Outsiders, and you go back and watch that, and it was just, like, all studs, and they all grew up, and, like, most of them are still studs. And he just Katie's point was, like, he was, like, a good-looking kid, like, in The Karate Kid. Like, he was, like, a good-looking, like, high school kid.
He was also, like, 25 years old.
Well, yeah, he was a little bit older. He was a good-looking young
adult. He was, like, 23.
He was a good-looking grown man.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now he looks like, I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know if it's his haircut or if it's his face or whatever.
No, he's still got a baby face with wrinkles. It's weird.
Yeah, right. So, anyway, that's that. But I would definitely watch it. All right, let's go to spoilers here. Spoilers. First off, this is a big debate I had with my wife the entire time because we are split on this. Which dojo would you be in?
Fucking Cobra Kai.
100% Cobra Kai.
Are you kidding?
She wants Miyagi-Do. She says she likes the outdoor, like, fountains and shit.
No. I'm like,
Strike first, strike hard, no mercy. That's how I live my life anyway.
I think of my again, you know, I was playing sports growing. Yes. I was pretty aggressive. Yes. So I tried Miyagi-Do and I hated it.
Yeah, it's not for me.
I wanted fucking babes.
Yeah.
And ass kicking. And dare I say it, fucking Guns N' Roses. That's fucking what I wanted.
I wanted Guns N' Roses. Now, you know me, I'm not a big Snake guy, but I'll call a cool logo when I see a cool logo. That's a cool logo.
And black and gold. You know, I love the black and gold.
Love the black and gold. You know what I'll do? I'll throw down, you know, a dozen Coors Banquets every night. I got no problem with that. That's a sick bottle, by the way.
And, like, say, Johnny Lawrence's favorite movie is Iron Eagle, which, again, is the most ridiculous. Like, it's so ridiculous.
He's the
man. Like, he watches the thing. He's getting pumped up watching Iron Eagle.
He's so good. The Coors Banquets is hysterical because it's everywhere he goes. He's at the Mexican restaurant, Coors Banquet. In his house, Coors Banquet.
And they start like Coors making fun of him. And the funniest thing is, the times where he's drunk, he's not drinking Coors. It's like he can't get drunk off Coors Banquet.
Now, Coors Banquet, he's no problem.
The little ponies, too. You got like little pony bottles.
No, so this is what I was saying. I think for Halloween, I'm going to get like a black gi. And then just Coors Banquets, and then I'll be Johnny Lawrence.
You get a little blonde wig too.
How good is that? Yeah, a little blonde wig and a little like a little headband. Boom.
Yeah. Boom. There you go. There's
Johnny Lawrence.
And Katie. And Katie can be, what's her name?
Allie?
No. Allie come back. Samantha. Sam LaRusso. Boom. Get her a white gi.
Yeah. Boom.
The daughter. There you go.
How do you like that? Yeah, because she's big Miyagi-Do. Big in,
and then you get Cece a little mohawk. She can be your little hawk.
She can be a little hawk. I'm Big Hawk, the fullback. Big Hawk. I got that big cock, the fullback. No, Hawk.
I went through walls for you. I went through walls. I hadn't heard that, and you sent it to me via text. I hadn't heard that in years.
I went through Boys. I went down a Jerky Boys rabbit hole, and I was just like dying laughing. Jerky Boys is so funny. So best worst parts of each season. So first of all, season one, I really liked. And because most of it was Johnny Lawrence, and then Johnny Lawrence getting his dojo up and running, having just Miguel as a student. I also really like Miguel. I think those to me are the two strongest characters. Their relationship is great. Him ripping on him at the beginning, like him, like when he's like talking to him about like, well, my guidance counselor said this. He's like, all right, listen up. You don't listen to your guidance counselor anymore. You listen to me. Got it? And he's like, yeah, all right, fine. Like that stuff's so good. When he gets all the new kids at first is hilarious. Like when he's just ripping them, it's got shades.
Yeah.
Shades of Billy Bob Thornton and Bad Santa. It's not and full there.
Just a little bit of Kenny Powers as a gym teacher, too. He's got a little bit of that. Yeah.
Walter Matthau, Bad News Bears.
Yep.
Like there, it's a little bit of that. I love it. I love all the training stuff. I love sort of the story arc of season one. Again, very simple and just really leaning in on the Johnny Lawrence character. But there is also a part at the beginning, and I don't think it's a mistake where they make Daniel LaRusso a car salesman. And so you're wondering, you're like, all right, is he kind of a bad guy jerk now? But then they swerve it pretty quickly that he's not. But you wonder at first.
You wonder at first, but at the same time, I just had a hard time liking Danny LaRusso because it's like everything he does, it's kind of out of pity for Johnny. Like he thinks he is better than him, but he lets him know that he's better than him.
Right.
You know, and Johnny being, you know, who he is kind of like stuck in his way and like very much stuck in his ways. The fact that he drives, what is it, a Trans Am and listens to it. Because I love when he gets the new car and he takes out the stereo and puts in the cassette player. Like so that was good. The shit. That was so good. That tells you everything you need to know about that guy.
Oh,
you know,
he's great. And so I like that. I don't think there was a lot of bad parts in season one. Like nothing really, really bugged me that bad in season one.
No, and the only thing that bugged me again is Danny LaRusso. Like it's you have a hard time liking him because you have this idea that Johnny hasn't let go what happened to him, and he's kind of stuck in that moment where he gets crane kicked in the face. Like they kind of hammer it on you. Like they keep showing it over and over and over again. So it's in his head that plays over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. But by the same time, like LaRusso hasn't let it go either because all of that is his brand. So he's still doing the karate chopping, the competition, giving people bonsai trees. Like that's just a big a part of who he is as it is for Johnny. It just channeled in different ways.
And I love when Johnny is explaining to Miguel the story. And it's like so one-sided about how then he sucker punched me and he did all this stuff and like completely leaves out the fact that he's like a bull, but he himself was a bully.
Right. But that's the whole story that they said about in that video, in that YouTube video. They're like, you know, he never like he pushed him, but he stood up and sucker punched him. Like that was the whole
thing.
He wrestled away the radio.
Yeah.
He fell and got up and punched him. So he threw the first punch. Like, he started that shit.
And who stole whose girl?
Exactly. And that, again, we'll get into that. But
yeah, we will.
And as someone pointed out, too, they do say in The Karate Kid, no kicks to the face.
Right.
It was an illegal kick. He wins on a kick to the face.
Yeah. CT Rebel in the chat also points out one of the great scenes in the first season is before Johnny's got his dojo up and running. He's like
handyman,
basically. And he's hanging a TV on a wall. The lady's like, what are you doing? It's on the wrong wall. He's like, you sat across from the door. She's like, not that door, the door. And she points like the door next to him. So then he sees her later on in season two.
Oh, that was so
when
funny.
He's like on like Tinder or whatever. And it's funny, thought they were going to hook up. I thought they were going to have sex.
It was funny. I recognized her. I'm like, where have I seen her before? Yeah. She's like, you're the one who hung the TV on the wrong wall. I'm like, oh, you bitch.
Yeah. So good.
And she goes, oh, you called me a bitch. No, I said like, you were bitching at me.
Yeah, you're bitching at me. I thought they were going to hook up, but it didn't happen. A couple of the best parts from season two to me were Johnny discovering the internet. I think that was like episode 3. That was hilarious. Like,
that was so funny.
It was just so good. Like, he had never seen it. It's just like, he's like looking up karate stuff. He's doing everything. I liked the addition of Stingray.
Yeah.
Good comedic effect.
So funny when he's like, his girlfriend he's with, he's like, I thought we were going to a party at your friend's house. He's like, these are my friends. Their parents aren't home. And he's got the 40 hands. Like, that guy's
fucking when they're at the competition in the woods and he hides in the leaves and jumps up and wins it is so good. So good.
It was good for him to break it up because season two, the best parts of season two for me, I think my favorite episode was the one, it was called Right Turn. The one where they visit Tommy in the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
That was just such a good episode. And
they bring back all those guys from Cobra Kai.
The only one who was missing was Dutch. And funny enough, Dutch was played by Steve McQueen's son.
Oh, wow.
And that guy's been out of show business for years. So he didn't come back. But to bring all those guys back, they do.
Yeah.
Or they say mention something. No one's seen him in years. You know, him in years.
Yeah.
So seeing William Zabka, I almost called him because in Billy the 80s, Zabka. He was Billy Zabka. Now he's William Zabka. So seeing Billy Zabka next to those guys.
Oh, yeah. He looks great.
He looks great. Like, he looks awesome. Yeah. Oh, they said he was in jail. That's right. They said Dutch was in jail.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I also thought the ending like really kind of picked up. Because I thought some of the storylines in season two kind of lulled for me. And by the end, you have the mega fight at the school, like a crazy fight.
Crazy one shot. They did a crazy one shot with that. They just kept going.
It was nuts. And first of all, the whole school now knows karate because they're in one of the two dojos.
They've been doing karate for 6 months and everyone's a fucking black belt. So that's another thing. Yeah.
Okay. So that to go back to season one, maybe like the one thing that wasn't the best is like Miguel just learned how, like, think about what they made in the Karate Kid, like what a lifestyle that was. And like for those kids to get there, Miguel just picked it up. Robbie Keane just picked it up. Hawk just picked it up. And they were three of the four finalists.
Yeah, and
Miguel won the All-Valley Tournament. The thing that, like, eluded Johnny Lawrence. Well, actually, Johnny won it, didn't he? Like, before LaRusso. Right? Is that what happened? Did
Johnny was, like, the
two-time champ.
Yeah, he won in 81 and 82 and lost in 83.
Okay.
Right?
Or 84. No, 84.
He won 82, 83, lost 84.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
But still, like, they built it up. But he had, like, dedicated his life to it. And, like, Miguel shows up and wins the whole thing. But whatever. But the ending goes crazy, and then it's just super high stakes, and then Miguel gets kicked off the balcony, and you think he's dead at first.
Well, I said out loud, as this whole thing, I was like, when Sam and Tori started fighting upstairs. On the stairs, I go, someone's going to get fucking killed.
Yeah.
And my favorite teacher moment, because I know teachers who would have said this, they would have come out in a fight and been like, I don't get fucking paid for this. I'm not touching anyone. Because the problem is, I know this is a show. You touch a kid, you're done. It doesn't matter if you're breaking up a fight. It doesn't matter. You're done. So, like, there's people who'd be like, and people like, the teacher should have stepped in. Bullshit. No teacher would have stepped in on that.
No, none. No, I understand. Thankfully, Stingray was there because he was applying for the security job and he started cleaning house.
What were those fucking moves he was doing? They were like the weird, he was like hip checking people and like getting down on a knee and punching him in the calf. He was doing some like weird shit.
He hits a weird. So this is why, and I still really like the show, don't get me wrong, but this is why season two I wasn't as big a fan of. I thought there was too much of the Daniel LaRusso and his wife relationship, him balancing the car dealership with the Miyagi-Do. And I didn't care at all about those two. I also don't really like Dimitri. And it was
God, that's exactly what I hoped you would say. That's the worst part about season two.
Yeah.
Enough with the Dimitri.
Dimitri killed me. And like then Hawk was fine, but then like when he's dragged in with that stuff, it's a little much
with the tattoos and all that shit. So I couldn't place that kid for the life of me. I had no idea. I'm like, I've fucking seen that kid.
Which one? Dimitri or Hawk?
Hawk. Oh. I'm like, I've seen that kid before. Do you know where I know him from?
No.
In the Parks and Rec episode with the Pawnee Rangers, he's the kid who fucking leaves and goes to the goddesses. He's the kid who bails on Ron Swanson to go ahead to have like the cotton candy party or whatever.
That's pretty
and I'm
funny.
Looking at that kid. I'm like, you bailed on Ron Swanson.
Yeah.
You don't belong in Cobra Kai.
And also, I'm not a big Robbie Keane fan. I don't like the look.
I'll tell you, he's an athlete. Like you watch these kids kind of muddle through it and try to do karate. He's a pretty good athlete.
Yeah, he can move around. Hair. I don't like his haircut.
My wife came in. She's like, that kid looks like Jonathan Brandis. I'm like, he kind of does.
He does. He looks like Brandis, but also like Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
It's like he's like got a combo like that weird good. 90s kid, and that hair sucks.
Yeah.
Middle part. Get the fuck out of here with that.
So basically, too much Dimitri, too much Robbie Keane. Because the Tori Samantha stuff, I was good with. I thought that was pretty good. I liked that in season three.
You know what I like too about the show? A lot of like high school shows are so afraid of when kids go to parties. And I know it's not kids shouldn't drink before. I'm not advocating teen drinking, but it happens, right? I was so happy that this show was like, no, we're gonna show you what kids do.
Yeah.
Like we're not gonna be like, oh, they're drinking like nondescript stuff out of
Watch the show. Is it called Euphoria on HBO?
So I've heard things. I've heard good things about it.
I have not seen it, but they're like that's like next level.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's no like kids aren't doing like designer drugs and whatever. Like they're gonna find someone's house where no parents are.
Yeah, but that's
and what they're gonna drink.
First of all, and then they're gonna do full on karate fights.
Yeah,
that's
I did karate at parties.
What you're gonna do? Now here's, I was going back to like midway through season one, I would look over to my wife and say they need to get Elizabeth Shue back. I kept saying it. She obviously played Allie, and that was the love triangle there with Johnny Lawrence and Daniel LaRusso. And they show her in highlights. Johnny references her a lot and says how like he references her. He even talks about it with Daniel at one point. Like he's like, oh, like yeah, like you know, she's on Facebook or whatever. But like,
I mean, that's what he's learning about the internet.
He's like, he's learning about all that. So he's like, and then finds out that like he's married, and like so they look at the guy. Remember they're like making fun of the guy, so they can like bond on that. But so anyway, at the end, he ends up, and he didn't even mean to. He got bumped into, and he ended up sending her like a message on Facebook. And then the very end of season three, you don't really know what's going on with Miguel, and then you also find out that Elizabeth Shue has sent Johnny a friend request on Facebook.
Allie Mills, she has sent him a friend request. Now
she has to be in season three.
She has to be. And it was so funny because a friend of mine who I work with, what's up, Cougs? I'm giving him a shout out right now. So he was started watching The Boys, right? And he was so excited. He just started watching The Boys at our recommendation. And then he was asking me about Cobra Kai. I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, I've been watching Cobra Kai. He's like, oh yeah, it's so good. He's like, oh man. He's like, I hope, like Elizabeth Shue can like find some time between like doing The Boys and Cobra Kai. Like if she can get on the show, and then somebody who had finished The Boys was like,
yeah, she's available.
Oh yeah, she's available. And he was like, God damn it! Like he hasn't finished season one yet.
Oh, because that was
He was like, ah shit. And he was so pissed, but
yeah,
still a funny story, but. Yeah, I can't wait.
For so she has to be back. We haven't even mentioned Kreese coming back. And so that was the other part I was going to say. Great cliffhanger at the end of season one. But I don't know. He also kind of bugged me in season two. Like, I kind of get it. It's over the top, but it is what it is.
Yeah, it's 80s movie villain. Like, he's the real villain in the whole thing. And so I think that's the whole point of season two.
That's what I also wanted to point out about Daniel LaRusso's wife, which is funny. Because she's like, all right, like, she so downplays his achievements because like she wasn't there for it. And she's like, oh great. Like you're a karate rival. Like you guys are fighting in the backyard. Like, okay, so, great.
I know I'm dipping into the anecdote pool a little too much today, but when I stopped playing hockey, I needed something to do. So I started doing jujitsu and like Krav Maga. And I started like Muay Thai. Like I started just fight it because one of my roommates was big into it, so I was like, all right, go with him. And I just needed something to do after school. So when I moved back to, I was in Connecticut and I moved to Waltham, I started doing Krav Maga again. And this is about the time I started dating my now wife. And she would constantly tell people just to piss me off. She's like, oh, as people like, oh, you seeing Ryan tonight? And she'd go, No, he has karate. He's doing karate tonight. And I'm like, stop telling people I'm doing fucking karate. I look like Kramer in Seinfeld. She's like, no, you do karate.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't do karate.
I don't do karate. Like,
it's just that to this day.
Yeah.
So she was like, every night, oh, you're watching your karate movies? You want to do karate again? Are you going to do karate again? You can open up a karate school?
No, I'm not. All right. I'm not.
And if it's awesome.
I'd be in Cobra Kai and it's sweet. It'd be so badass.
And our geese don't have sleeves.
No.
So there.
Because we're all about being badass. Another problem I had with Johnny Lawrence as they're trying to turn him into a sympathetic figure and a good guy, he is not as badass. He's not.
And that,
he still says you're badass, but I don't like that. You know me. Cheap shots. Go ahead. Cheap shot him. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. What?
Exploit an injury. Cheap shot.
Oh, so we should exploit rules when people don't make them and to our advantage. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but you didn't even do it necessarily to your advantage entirely.
I absolutely did. I won.
You should have taken the five best songs in the world and just said, that's it.
Yeah. That's Billie Jean, Michael Jackson.
It's the only hit I recognize. Yeah, right. Yeah. It's my only hit.
Yeah. But that's We Are the Champions by Queen.
It's a tough. That's my song. So
it's their one hit that they had in a Mighty Ducks song. Yeah. So a Mighty Ducks movie. So there you go.
And that's the only movie I've ever seen. So
exactly.
I feel like it's a tough balance because he does need to be badass. He does need to just punch a guy in the mouth at any turn. But he got a little soft on me. And it's like
a little
soft with the son and everything else.
And like, I think that only furthers the Kreese storyline a little bit because then you can drive the wedge between them. Like, well, he's so gone Kreese, soft. And
Kreese has his dojo now. Kreese has taken over Cobra Kai because they're blaming him for Miguel's injury now.
Mm-hmm.
So don't you envision, and we already know there's going to be a season three, don't you envision Johnny's going to have to try to win back Miguel's trust? I'm curious how Miguel feels about him, but I'm guessing they're going to set it up like Miguel is pissed at him because he's like, I had him beat. And I showed mercy, like you said, and now I'm in a wheelchair or whatever. Like that's my guess. But Johnny loves Miguel more than he loves his own son, and he's gonna try to like help rehabilitate him. That's my guess.
Yeah, I think it's starting over. I think you start a brand new thing. So you have Miyagi-Do, you have Cobra Kai, and there's gotta be something in the middle. Because they made a point of talking about the Miyagi balance thing, and that was like basically the whole part of season two was the whole balance thing.
Yeah.
So I think they need that to balance out a little bit. I say he just takes Cobra Kai. So it's C K and just make the Cobra with a K and the Kai with a C.
Oh,
there you go. Just flip it. But one of my favorite lines, I was just thinking about it right now when he's dropping his kid off at school the first day and he's like, they still, I got you pens and papers and stuff. He's like, couldn't find any trapper keepers. Are those still cool? And his kid's looking at him and he goes, I had one, had a jet plane on it. Sick.
It was sweet. So funny. That's
so sweet. Yeah. I just feel like it had a jet fighter on it. Yeah. Sick.
What? Like, are those still a thing?
Those still cool?
Yeah, he's far and away my favorite character. I'd say Johnny 1, then I would say Miguel 2. Mm-hmm. I like Sam and Tori. I like them both.
Okay, now you got to pick.
Well, they're a little young, but if you were to
now they're in like 20s, so they're younger than us, but they're okay. It's fair game.
Yeah. So I'll say this: if I was Miguel,
yes,
I would pick Tori.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
I hate agreeing with you so much, but that's the clear choice.
Sam seems like a sweetheart of a gal, but
look at you and I know each other well enough, and we have been around enough rich girls to know we don't belong there.
Yeah. You know, no, that ain't our scene.
That is not my thing, right?
No, that is true. What about Moon?
Moon, so that what a wonderful thing that they did with Moon's character. I thought she was kind of like on the end. They did, so they have Hawk like doing his like bumping, like running into things, like don't touch my hair, and he's like trying to be all alpha with this girl. Was her Piper? And then they have like Moon have a female love interest. I love that. I love for them.
That was good.
Yeah,
that was good. Yeah. So Dimitri, Robbie. They're probably my least favorite. Even the guys that work with LaRusso, like his cousin, like Not for me.
Like, if I were, I would never be, but if I were in Miyagi-Do karate,
yeah,
I know we're all about defense in Miyagi-Do.
Yeah.
Someone's got to fucking stomp him on hole and Dimitri. Be like, shut the fuck
up.
Yeah, or at least someone has to turn around and be like, shut up.
It was a pretty good scene, though, like when they were in like the freezer and they he was like, go ahead, like two. And then the two, like, he blocks one and they're like, oh my God. Then like five, it kicks him right in the stomach, like knocks the wind out of him.
Oh, that kid sucks.
Yeah, just like, like just annoying.
But I think the what I like most about seasons one and two, too, is looking at, as someone who works with young people all the time, like how you have to coach kids now is odd. And, you know, like I remember like a youth baseball coach calling me an asshole, like to my face.
You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. Like 100%. Like it's definitely different now. Like I remember thinking back, like my middle school basketball coach, now it's middle school, but still, what are you, 13, 14?
Yeah.
And like some of the conversations he would have with us were probably not what he should be saying.
Today would be fireable.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I've had, you know, I've had coaches call me like a piece of shit, like, you know, like, and mean it. And just like that old school mentality and how kids are complete. And I think one of the things that you see in Johnny is that he realizes like kids are so different now.
Yeah.
And so one of the characters I really liked was the character Aisha.
Miss Robinson.
Yes. Because, you know, she comes to karate for like the right reasons. Like she's getting, no one's hurting her, but she's getting bullied at school through social media and like all this shit. And like,
and
how
Johnny's
harmful.
So like she's like, they're telling me online like to lose weight and kill myself. And he's like,
and he has that great conversation with her where he's like, they're fucking cowards. Like,
what a bunch of pussies. He's like, they don't do it to your face.
Yeah.
Like he can't believe it.
He can't believe it. And he's like, why can't you just fucking kick their ass? Like you can't do that anymore.
How good is that scene where it's just him or just Aisha and Miguel? And he's like, let's see what she's got. Fight. And Miguel's like, what? Like I've been training for a while now. Like, what are we doing? He's like,
she just bodies him.
Fight. Yeah. Oh yeah. Then she smacks him around.
And I love the first season where he just quiet. We just like, starts yelling at everybody.
He's so he's great. So I'm interested to see where he's going to go. Like every time he's on camera, you're not disappointed. It's when they go away from him for too long is where I'm like, but overall, very good show.
I do like that. Like he's actually fucking trying. Like they almost at some point put it to bed. Like the two of them, LaRusso and Lawrence, they kind of put it to bed, and then the shit hits the fan. Like every single
two or three times, they had like a major breakthrough, only for something to happen. Like all of a sudden, Sam gets drunk and Robbie takes him to his house, and then
the dojo gets trashed. Like while they're out having beers together,
right? And they blame him because it's all creased with Hawk. All right. Well, anything else on that before we get to the old?
Can't wait for season three.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So it just says 2021. I don't know the exact month or whatever, but we will be eyes open for that bad boy. Here we go.
Pick of the bomb.
All right, Ryan, would you like to kick, receive, defer, or defend a goal?
I'll receive this week because I got a little bit of a weird one, and this one kind of took me by surprise. So my older daughter, who's six, is super into animals. Like, she loves animals. So I saw this documentary on Netflix. I'm like, she might really like this, so I'll check it out. It's called My Octopus Teacher.
I heard, is this sad?
A little. It's
okay.
Fucking incredible.
Oh, okay.
Like it's so good. I think it's like 96% on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
Yeah.
But it's
I heard about it.
If you're a person like me who kind of struggles time to time, like with your life, but I don't struggle with, but like I struggle
I know
with
what you mean. Yeah.
You know, like my place, you know, watch this movie.
Okay.
Like watch. I won't say anything else about it, but watch it.
I have two things, but they're both of the I plan on watching. So a little bit different, but they're both on Netflix because I figure people that watch Cobra Kai are on the Netflix. Ratchet is out. That is basically the prequel to One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which is also available now on Netflix. If you either haven't seen it,
I'm off Ryan Murphy though.
So I'm interested in this. I know it's going to be very gory and maybe that's too much for some people, but I do like Sarah Paulson, and I'm interested in what they do with this character. Because I would say, so One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest came out in, I think, 75, and they won Best Actor and Best Actress at the Oscars. Mm-hmm. And Nurse Ratched, I don't think really deserved being Best Actress. She was just kind of like there. She was just like a character.
Yeah.
Like the movie was really good. She didn't do anything that special, but I'm curious to see like what got her to be that, to that point. And that's what the story is about. So that series just came out. And the other thing I started, it's like a 2.5 hour movie or whatever, 220. And I just watched the first 20 minutes of it, is with Millie Bobby Brown, called Enola Holmes. It's the younger sister of Sherlock and Mycroft Holmes. And her mother goes missing, and she needs to find her mother. That's basically the premise. And so I'm 20 minutes in. It's a little weird. Like, she, Millie Bobby Brown's obviously very good, but they're doing the, like the Deadpool thing where she's like talking to the camera a little bit.
Yeah. So my mom came to stay with us for a couple days to take care of the girls when they're in hybrid schooling, and she started watching it, and I kind of popped my head in, and that was the very first thing I saw. She kind of turned to the camera.
Yeah.
She looks so much older.
Yeah, she does. She does.
Like, and I'm not being weird. Like, she just looks.
She does. Yeah. Henry Cavill plays Sherlock Holmes, and Helena Bonham Carter plays the mom. So I'm only 20 minutes in, and it wasn't like I was bored. I liked it. I was doing other stuff. So
that's kind of a beefy Sherlock, isn't it?
Yeah, and I don't know how much more he's going to be in it. Like, I'm guessing this is like a movie about her. So, yeah. But they put him in there. He's got the accent.
But I always picture Sherlock Holmes, like, I see Benedict Cumberbatch, like, kind of like lanky, like, kind of like, but smart,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I hear you. All right. Well, that's that. Again, Dorktober begins. And Ryan, we just came up with an idea, and we're going to figure out what exactly we're going to do. But next week, and it may not be Monday, but we'll tweet out when it's going to be, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Y'all remember them? And Davey and I are going to go over some of our favorite ones. So that is going to kick off Dorktober 5. A new beginning. So it'll be all scary stuff with the exception of season 2 of The Boys coming out next month, including our murder mystery, the return of the murder mystery. So I'm excited for that. You can rate and review and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and just about everywhere else podcasts are available. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Dork Podcast. You can subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/dorkpodcast. Davey's on Twitch whenever he gets a free moment.
Whenever I get a second to breathe, we can do
Twitch. It. Twitch.tv/rvond. And then you can also check out the Facebook page, the hashtag Dork Shared Gooniverse. Check out what we're doing along with Mac and Goo, Pop Culture Pilot Driver, Change My Mind Pod. Yes.
And the newly added Furlough Friends
to the
Shared Gooniverse. So I will give them a plug too. Give them a pop. Lucy and Nick.
Yes, and Dr. Joe and Shime's Twitch page as well. So
yes,
that'll do it for us. Ryan, what do they say about wombats?
Square buttholes, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Cobra Kai never dies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.